We head over to the hotline right now. Joining us on the line, we've got Laura DeMarco with us. You can catch Laura this weekend. She'll be signing books at the Barnes & Noble Crocker Park on her new book, Lost Cleveland. Laura, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, I want to talk about the book itself. I mean, of course, we mentioned you'll be signing books at the Barnes & Noble at Crocker Park this weekend. But the book itself, Lost Cleveland, is about Cleveland institutions that have really kind of been lost over time. What kinds of places are highlighted in the book?
Well, it's a wide variety of places. We have everything from skyscrapers, bridges, complete roads and neighborhoods that are missing to what I think is very poignant this time of year, you know, downtown Cleveland department stores and bakeries and places like that. So it's just, oh, and amusement parks, of course. So it's just kind of a wide-ranging look at things from the late 1800s until just last year, 2016, that have been, you know, lost to time in Cleveland.
And really, it covers the gamut there. You talk about some places that have been lost going back a couple centuries to some places that have kind of been wiped away as, well, I guess as recently as last year. And, well,
right.
I can think of many off the top of my head. I grew up on the east side, so the first place that comes to the top of my mind is Geauga Lake. Is that mentioned in here?
Geauga Lake is not, but there's another very famous east side amusement park, which I think you may also remember, depending on your age, and certainly some of your listeners would, and that would be Euclid Beach Park, which is, when I talk about the book, Euclid Beach Park probably is at the top of the list of things that Clevelanders miss, I would say.
Oh, yeah, without question. Actually, we had John Fredo on, because what they do, I think the Western Reserve Historical Society, once a year they have an event where they remember some of the elements of Euclid Beach Park.
Right.
And it's interesting because, you know, my grandparents always told me about Euclid Beach Park. My parents told me about it. They said that really, if you were an East Sider, that was, for lack of a better term, that was like their Cedar Point.
Oh, it was. And in fact, my dad and mom and grandma told me so much about it, too. And they were West Siders. I think if you were anywhere in Cleveland and, you know, up until 1969 when it closed, it opened in 1895. If you were anywhere in Cleveland, that was a park to go to. But I also have some parks in the book that probably none of your listeners would remember because they closed as early as 1908, which was White City, and 1929, which was Luna Park. And it's just so amazing to look at these pictures of these huge, beautiful, really intricate amusement parks that were within the city of Cleveland, and there's not a trace anymore.
What was the motivation behind writing this book? I know you're from the area, correct?
Correct.
So what?
Yeah, so two motivations. I'm an arts and culture reporter at the Plain Dealer, and I have been for several years. And about 5 years ago, I started writing more about Cleveland history. I was writing stories that I called Lost Cleveland for the newspaper, you know, about stores and restaurants and places that were gone. And I'm also a third-generation Clevelander. As I mentioned, my dad grew up here. My grandma was born in Cleveland, the first one in our family born in the United States in 1912. And so I heard all these stories from them growing up about Cleveland. It was so different than the Cleveland that I knew. So, you know, their stories paired with, you know, my interest at work just led me to want to do more than just a newspaper article. I wanted to expand on it and you know, dig into the archives. And I came across about 800 photos during the research, although there's a little more than 200 in the book.
We're talking with Laura DeMarco. She is the author of Lost Cleveland. She'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Crocker Park this weekend for a book signing. And, well, can you give us an idea as to what the research process was like for this book? Because, well, as you just mentioned, going all the way back to the late 1800s and even researching some places that have been lost in Cleveland as recently as last year. I mean, that's such a large time frame that you are working with. What all went into the research in this book?
Right. Well, it started with the photos, because you can tell the best story in the world, but if you don't have good photos to show people what is lost, it's just not going to work in a book, right? And this is a picture book, so each landmark is covered over two pages, and one of those pages is a full-page picture, and the other is text with smaller pictures. So, you know, it was digging into the Cleveland Public Library, the Plain Dealer Archives, the Old Press Archives, Western Reserve Historical Society, and you know, Library of Congress. So just first started with those photos. Of course, you wanted to have a wide range of east side, west side, and types of places. You know, you don't obviously want all amusement parks or all restaurants. You know, you want industry too, because Cleveland is a city that is based on industry. So you know, my editor and publisher are in London, the UK. So I came up with about 800 photos, and then, you know, just started going over it with them. What are the best photos? What helps us tell the story of Cleveland? What represents the diversity of Cleveland? And the writing came after the photos were chosen.
Laura, as you did your research and we're finding out more about some of these places, these buildings, these amusement parks, was there anything that you learned something about and really kind of got more involved with that became one of your favorites?
You know, I was very interested in the Hollanden Hotel downtown on Superior. This was demolished in the 60s, but it has such fascinating history, and I don't think a lot of people may know that not only was the NFL charter signed there, so it has some great sports history as well, but that was the place where a then little-known star named Dino Crocetti was reborn as Dean Martin. He performed there, and that's where he got his start, and he was told his name was too Italian, so they renamed him Dean Martin at the Hollanden, and, you know, a star was born.
Very cool stuff. Well, as you're going through it and you're putting this book together, I'm sure there are a lot of things that most definitely stand out. I swear one of the things that you mentioned in this book, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the Parmatown Mall, correct?
It is, yes. So that was kind of special to me because I am a West Sider, so that was the mall that I went to growing up. We just couldn't find enough pictures to get Randall Park into. The pictures didn't carry it, but we found great pictures of the Parmatown Mall archive. And I really liked including this because, you know, we do have all the downtown department store shopping in there, but the malls kind of show the evolution of the city. You know, people began to move to the suburbs after World War II, and Parmatown and Parma grew so rapidly in the 50s. And when Parmatown opened in the 60s, it was a really glamorous, upscale mall. This was, you know, sort of a symbol of the new America, the people living in their new houses in the suburbs, and this was places to go shop. And, you know, there was even a cocktail lounge in Parmatown Mall that advertised, you know, your daytime shopping cocktails. And so it was really kind of touching and very interesting to look at this place of Americana. And, you know, as we see now, just as downtown department stores ended, the era of the mall is ending too, as people go more to online shopping. So, you know, I think it just shows a different side of America and another era ending.
No question about that. And to stick with that for just a second, let's just say you were to write this book, let's say 10, 15 years from now. You feel like more malls would probably pop up in this just because, as you mentioned, they're slowly yet surely beginning to die off. You mentioned, too, the Parmatown Mall. You mentioned the Randall Park Mall. I remember that was a really big one growing up.
Right.
But there are a lot of others that were a really big deal during our childhood. But all of a sudden, within the last 5 to 10 years, as you mentioned, people are going to online shopping or they're going to places like Legacy Village on the east side, Crocker Park on the west side. So the malls are slowly yet surely going away.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, everything is cyclical. Everything has its moments. But, you're not going to be able to build a monument or write about, you know, what it looked like to do online shopping in 15 or 20 years from now. When you lose a mall or you lose a restaurant or you lose a theater or something like that, you lose a part of the community, too, which is, I think, something kind of bittersweet about this book, because these places, whether you were shopping there or, you know, working at Republic Steel or, you know, working at the Cuyahoga and Williamson buildings downtown, they were community places. They were places where you got out of your house and you went and you were surrounded by other Clevelanders.
Yeah, and I think what makes these places, too, is they've all got a really cool story or a series of stories attached to them as well. And really and truly, depending upon where you're at in history as well, some of these places were landmarks that people remembered the city by as well. And I'm sure a lot of that is in the book, too. But I think it's fascinating how some of these places, at one point in time, they were such a big deal in the city. And I know, as you explained in the book, for one reason or another, they just kind of get lost in time. Before we let you go, Laura, can you give us the details on the book signing at Barnes & Noble at Crocker Park this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to be there from 3 to 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. We'll be they're well stocked. We'll be signing, you know, I'll be signing copies of Lost Cleveland. And, you know, it's $19.95. You know, I think it's a good price. And I think, and of course I'm biased, but I think it's a great, you know, a holiday gift for people. And there's some specific holiday memories in there. But it's just, you know, a little trip back in time for the Clevelanders on your list.
And I think your timing is certainly fantastic, because I think that would be a wonderful gift to get someone, especially, look, people always say, look, it's tough to shop for mom and dad. It's tough to shop for grandma and grandpa. This would be a wonderful gift for someone in that age range if they're looking to take a trip down memory lane, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. In fact, I can't even tell you how many people have said that exact same thing to me. This is for my mom. This is for my grandma, you know, and then maybe a copy is for them, too, because I think younger people want to learn about their city as well.
Sure, and there's a lot to be learned in there. I mean, even if these are places that you had only heard something very small about, I mean, the story you told there about Dean Martin, I think that's really, really cool stuff. There are stories like this that are in there that certainly I think people could learn a lot about. Laura, thank you so much for joining us here on the show today. It was a lot of fun to get to know more about the book as well, and best of luck with the book signing on Saturday.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You do the same. Again, that's Laura DeMarco. You can catch her at the Barnes & Noble at Crocker Park this Saturday from 3 to 5. She will be signing her book, Lost Cleveland.